Has the CEO of Airbus given up on the A400M? A lawsuit against Cessna is sent to Italian courts. And is Red Bull's Albatross safe and legal? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 31st, 2009. The EADS Airbus A400M military transport project is about to miss a crucial milestone. European nations and companies partnering in the plane's development have a contract which allows them to withdraw from the program if the A400M doesn't make its first flight by the end of today. And no, it won't. EADS has asked the partners for more money. Britain and Germany have threatened to pull out. And Sunday, Airbus CEO Tom Enders told Germany's Der Spiegel the plane cannot be built under the terms of the current contract. He said he refuses to make a, quote, pilgrimage to Berlin or Paris to plead for a continuation of the program under conditions that are not acceptable to us. Better an end with horror than horror without an end, unquote. EADS brass was not amused at the comment. They issued a statement yesterday saying that EADS, quote, confirms that it remains fully committed to the construction of the A400M that will be the most complete, high-performance military plane for the coming decades, unquote. But if you look farther down, the statement does admit the 2003 contract has terms that preclude completing development. EADS has asked partners for a 30-day moratorium on pullouts from the project. A lawsuit against Cessna over a runway incursion in 2001 may be moving to the Italian court system. On a foggy morning in October 2001, a Cessna jet and a Scandinavian Airlines plane collided at Milan's Linate Airport, killing 118 people. Relatives of 69 of the dead, representing seven foreign nations, brought suit against Cessna in federal court in Florida, saying its company pilots received inadequate training for operation in limited visibility. That judge dismissed the suit, saying it belonged in Italian courts, close to where the accident happened and closer to evidence and witnesses. The plaintiffs appealed, but the Associated Press reports that on Friday, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the dismissal and noted that Cessna was okay with the move to Italian jurisdiction. That ruling came with no comment on the merits of the suit. The Cessna pilots were doing a demo flight for a customer at the time of the collision. An inoperative radar system at the airport was also noted during the investigation. Italian courts have already convicted eight people in connection with the crash on charges including manslaughter and negligence and handed down sentences of up to 8 years in prison. ABC News is raising questions about the Grumman HU-16E seaplane that's used to market Red Bull energy drink at major sporting events and air shows. ABC notes the Albatross was decommissioned and disposed of by the Coast Guard in 1976 because of concerns with the structural integrity of the aircraft's wings. ABC further reports the plane operates under an experimental airworthiness certificate that prohibits anyone other than non-essential crew and prohibits flight over densely populated areas. Yet the plane is used to give celebrities rides and overfly huge crowds at outdoor events. A Red Bull spokeswoman, Patrice Radden, told ABC, quote, neither Red Bull nor any of its pilots or flight crews have or would operate an aircraft that is known to be unsafe or in an unsafe manner, unquote. It's really not clear whether ABC has its facts straight on this one or even has the right plane. The report repeatedly refers to the Red Bull Albatross as being built in 1954 and as being 55 years old. But FAA records confirm the statement in Red Bull's promotional materials that November 29853 is actually a 1957 HU-16E. Up next on ANN, the Northwest Airlines logo goes the way of Studebaker. Branson's opening day air show goes international. And a British protester should be old enough to know better. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 31st. I'm Paul Platt. We've reported on lots of behind-the-scenes changes at the former Northwest Airlines as it's been merged into Delta. There have been issues large and small, from integrating pilot seniority lists to deciding whether to serve Coke or Pepsi on the flights. But the latest changes will be noticed by people who don't follow the industry. Specifically, 5 months after the merger was done, it's come time to change the uniforms and the signs. The pilots, flight attendants, airport lounge reps, ticket counter and gate agents who worked for Northwest started wearing Delta uniforms yesterday. This week, former Northwest hubs at Detroit, Memphis, and Minneapolis-St. Paul will get new Delta signage. 119 airports worldwide have already been rebranded. The airline expects to have all domestic airports transformed by the end of this year, and international locations done next year. 33 Northwest-branded aircraft have already been repainted in Delta livery. 250 will have been repainted by the end of the year and fitted with interiors with Delta's standard blue leather seats. Delta CEO Richard Anderson says, quote, "We're working hard to integrate every aspect of the travel experience, from onboard products to aircraft exteriors and cabin interiors to frequent flyer programs, so that all Delta customers worldwide enjoy one best-in-class experience," unquote. You watch, 10 years from now, Northwest signs will be selling for good money on eBay. One of the most interesting airport stories in the U.S. is counting down to showtime. The new Branson Airport in Missouri is the first privately developed and operated commercial service airport in the United States and will celebrate its grand opening with an air show the weekend of May 9th and 10th. That air show is taking on an international flavor. Airport officials have announced that in celebration of Canada's 100th anniversary of powered flight, the Canadian Air Force will bring a CF-18 Hornet fighter to the event, joining a U.S. Navy F-18 and a U.S. Air Force A-10 Thunderbolt. Previously announced acts for the show include the U.S. Army Golden Knights, who are celebrating their golden anniversary this year, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, Aeroshell Aerobatic Team, Manfred Radius and his glider, Patty Wagstaff, and more. The show will also feature Warbird static displays. You can find out more about the airport at flybranson.com. A British activist who jumped a fence to get onto a Royal Air Force base in Croughton, England, is suing the U.S. airmen who arrested her for trespassing. 67-year-old Lindis Percy is a coordinator with the Campaign for the Accountability of American Bases. She was handcuffed and detained in February 2006 by then U.S. Air Force senior airman, now Staff Sergeant, Frank McDonald. She alleges that McDonald caused superficial cuts, swelling, and pain to wrists from handcuffs being too tight, and that she suffered other injuries in the process. A criminal case against McDonald was dismissed in April 2008 under terms of the UK Visiting Forces Act of 1952. Percy says her suit is about more than the £1,000 in damages she's seeking. Quote, "More importantly, it's bringing this man to account. It was a disgrace what went on," unquote. She also filed a misconduct suit against two British Ministry of Defense police officers over the incident for not intervening. Prosecutors dropped that case. The U.S. Air Force has declined comment on the pending litigation. Still ahead, here's one congressman who appreciates general aviation. Headed for Oshkosh, stop by Yankton. And here's a high school where everyone's an aviation geek. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 31st. I'm Paul Plack. We've discovered something we weren't sure existed anymore, a fan of general aviation in Washington, D.C. Minnesota Congressman Colin Peterson, a Democrat, has been using his single-engine Beechcraft Bonanza to survey damage from flooding of the Red River. The Minneapolis Star-Tribune reports Peterson comforted a reporter about to fly with him by letting the writer know the plane's nickname is the Fork-Tailed Doctor Killer. Peterson was first elected in 1990, but says he's been flying for decades. Quote, "If I didn't fly, I don't know how I'd do it," unquote. As he flew with a reporter over Georgetown, Minnesota, Peterson noted that the extent of the flooding wasn't obvious at first look. Quote, "They're all underwater here, too. You just can't tell because it's all covered in snow," unquote. If you're flying to Oshkosh this summer, one of the airports that will be courting your business along the way is the Chan Gurney Municipal Airport in Yankton, South Dakota. That airport was just named the State Office of Aeronautics 2008 Large General Aviation Airport of the Year. Gary Carlson, who with his wife Katie owns Carlson Aviation, the FBO on the field, told the Yankton Press and Review that the award is prestigious. Quote, "It's pretty fierce competition. Yankton ought to be proud. This is the community's airport," unquote. There were 34 other airports in the running for that award. Chan Gurney has benefited from hundreds of thousands of dollars in improvements in recent years, which Katie Carlson says has doubled fuel sales and the number of aircraft using the field and made the airport a better candidate for funding. Quote, "The airports that are showing they have a need for more and more funding, those are the airports that are going to be getting it," unquote. The Carlsons say the state award will help attract more business from AirVenture attendees en route to the event. The Mitchell Municipal Airport won the award last year, and Katie says, quote, "The airport manager told us to use that plaque to advertise. He said it made a big difference in his business. We intend to do that," unquote. And finally today, looking back, do you think you could have earned better grades in high school if it was an aviation high school? Well, Seattle's got one, and it just got funding for a new location in the form of a $4 million gift from benefactors James and Sherry Raisbeck. The school has occupied temporary accommodations since opening in 2004. Seattle's Aviation High School is a public school that accepts students from the Puget Sound area who wish, quote, to pursue their passion for aviation and aerospace in a learning environment that prepares them for higher education, citizenship, and work, unquote. At a ceremony last Thursday, James Raisbeck commented, quote, "The technical world needs the graduates of Aviation High School to form the basis for future aviation experts in order for the United States to maintain its lead in advancing the application of advanced and ever more complex technologies. Sherry is an educator. I am an engineer. We have both worked hard to achieve the means to help here, and we're proud and humbled to do so," unquote. The Museum of Flight, located at the south end of Boeing Field, invited the Novel High School to be part of its campus expansion, but construction costs will run an estimated $43.5 million for the school. AHS Principal Reba Gilman is confident they'll find the money. Quote, "We will get there because people like our lead donor believe in the mission and vision of Aviation High School, and they see strong evidence that our instructional program is making a difference for students, the workforce, and the communities we serve," unquote. In honor of its largest private donors, the new facility will be named Raisbeck Aviation High School. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the seventh and final installment of Lessons from Flight 1549, here two airport representatives tell the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee what it will take to reduce the threat of bird strikes. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.